Fear. Fear is an interesting one. That I have a thing for fear as well as for problems.
Like, you like it.
Yeah. But it's good because it presents an opportunity. You kind of go, oh, well, why am I afraid? Because I don't know that. Oh, I don't know that. So can I know it? Oh, yeah. How do I do that? Oh, I ask that person. I read that book or I go to that thing. Oh, and then you're not afraid anymore.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. This is Esprit Devora, and I am in Dublin, Ireland. So exciting. And I am at the lovely Bank of Ireland in their collaborative space for entrepreneurs and tech enthusiasts called Workbench. It's so exciting to be here inside Trinity College, which is gorgeous in itself. If you come to Dublin, or if you're in Dublin, I'm sure you've been here many times. If you come to Dublin, you must go to Trinity College. It's great. And come and work out of Workbench. I'm so, so thrilled to be sitting here with Andrea right now with opening. Andrea, tell me about, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell me about your company.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much. Really cool to be here.
It's exciting.
At the beginning of the year to start like this. This is totally cool. This is my first thing that I'm doing now back in work on the 3rd of January. So yeah, my name is Andrea Wade. I'm the co-founder and CEO of a company called Opening.io. We apply data science within the recruitment space. And we have a B2B enterprise level company that we've been working on for the last nearly 2 years now.
So when was it that you first discovered your passion for technology?
Many, many, many years ago. So I'm not quite sure about the educational system in the States, but in Romania,
yeah,
where I'm from, you specialize in something, you major in something in secondary school.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the case here in Ireland either. So I started coding when I was 16, 15.
What? Yeah. That's very unusual.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, you know,
That's really crazy.
It's really cool. I have to say, you know, like, I left my home country because I was like, oh, I need to go and blah.
Right.
You know, post-communist Romania wasn't the greatest place ever. But looking back now, where, okay, we have all these coder dojos and we're trying now to get coding into schools, we were doing that. So that was, you know, 22 years ago, I was coding in a Romanian school. So that's kind of how it all started, I guess. It was curiosity and the want to build things on your own.
Do you think that the educational systems across the globe right now incorporating technology into the academics as, you know, students grow older, like, is going to increase the amount of women in technology just naturally being exposed to it?
I definitely think so. Even the case of, say, for example, Coder Dojo here in Ireland. I know some of the mentors that are, you know, involved with Coder Dojo, DCU, I think, one of the universities here in Dublin. And they had this experiment. They put together a female-only dojo at one stage, and they have seen that after that existed, the numbers overall for all the dojos of little girls joining just went up, because suddenly it was a space where you were invited into, but suddenly it was, you know, it became normalized. It's not just for boys to learn, you know,
technology. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I think it will really, really, really make a difference.
So take me from you were coding when you were a teenager and becoming the entrepreneur you are today. How did you get there?
Well, even before coding, I organized my first event when I was maybe 12 or 13.
What?
Together with a friend of mine, we put together, and this is weird because I'm not into fashion or anything like that, but we put together a fashion show. So in her house, we invited all the kids from the neighborhood. We had drinks and we had cakes and yeah. all sorts of things. And we literally had a whole full day event, and that was when I was 12 or 13. I started writing for a local newspaper when yeah. I was 15 or 16 as well, because I then went on to become a journalist. So I always did stuff.
Like I was a journalist too.
No way.
As a high school okay. student. Yeah, that's so yeah. cool.
Like then I went out, I was managing a death metal band, and we would
what? Go. A death metal band?
Yeah. Later on in the years, like I actually organized really large festivals and things.
Wow.
Yeah. So I always did stuff.
Yeah.
So it just, I don't know how not
it
to
sounds
do this.
You were kind of learning how to be resourceful and learning business to complement your coding skills that you had started to acquire so early on.
Yeah, and to be honest, I stopped that. Like, I haven't coded anything in...
What is your role in opening?
I'm the CEO.
But what do you do as the CEO? Like, do you do any programming within
no.
the company? Okay.
No, like, I haven't since I left high school, I guess. I haven't coded anything. But I'm also very curious. Like, I went on here in Dublin to study design at the Dublin Design Institute. I haven't designed anything.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to learn to understand and to learn how to talk to designers, I guess. So I'm just very curious about things.
And how large is your team in opening?
It's actually quite an exciting moment.
Yay.
We're just hiring.
Awesome.
So
I'm looking to relocate.
Cool, you should move here. I can vouch for Ireland. Ireland is really cool.
Ireland is, it's my second time in Ireland, and I do love
okay.
Ireland, yeah.
Mm. So in the last 2 years, because we've bootstrapped, we invested in our own company, so we put in our own money. So in the last nearly 2 years, I suppose, year and a half, we went from 2 to 4 to 6, back to 4. It was just up and down, depending
right.
on the resources that we had. But now we're finally taking on some money. So we will be back again at 5 people. So it's myself, the CEO, my co-founder. There's 2 founders, myself and Adrian, who is the CTO. Adrian is a programming Olympiad and a very interesting person. He had a band, played in front of tens of thousands of people, all sorts of interesting things. Then there's 2 data scientists, Roly and Mikhail. Mikhail is the only one who's not here. He's actually in Russia. Roly is my brother, who's a data scientist.
Yeah.
And there's John, our non-executive director, and somebody else is joining us in the next 3 weeks.
It's exciting.
She is amazing. She's a she, which is cool. She will be our VP of sales and marketing.
Awesome.
She was a senior in the largest specialized recruitment agency in the world. She's cool, amazing, and we're really, really looking forward to this.
That's awesome. And have you guys raised money?
So, just now.
Wow, everything's happening.
Yeah, we didn't, we tried really hard to start, you know, producing revenue without raising any money. So that was our ambition. I was involved in the startup world for a long time. I mentored in all the incubators and accelerators. I was involved in a 4.5 million euro fund that we gave to European startups.
Insane.
All that. And then I had this... We just wanted to get there without taking money on, but we now need bridge funding because
right.
we sell into enterprises, and that could take from 6 to 8 to 12 months or whatnot. So I can't say things. I was
right.
saying it to Claire.
Yeah.
We're just signing now and with an Irish entity.
So exciting.
So that's cool. And then there's a second fund that we agreed to take money from, and I'll close in February.
And Claire is someone that we have also interviewed on the Women in Tech podcast, and Claire was mentioning with the Bank of Ireland that she has an overdraft, which is essentially a credit line for us Americans. Here, have you ever thought about having a credit line to be a bridge? Is that something standard for a tech company here in Ireland?
I wouldn't necessarily think that it is, but at the same time, funny enough, we actually discussed this just 2 days ago with my co-founder as people, we don't take, I don't have a credit card. I cut my credit card about 5-6 years ago.
Amazing.
We don't have loans. So just as, you know, away from opening, away from the business, just as people.
Yeah.
We don't really take money from banks.
Yeah.
But we were talking about the business and where it's going and what we're doing next. And, you know, will we get to do a Series A, or will we, if we get on board a couple of these enterprises, we'll go to the banks? And we were actually just discussing that. I mean, Bank of Ireland, it's not a credit line or whatever you guys call it in the States, but Bank of Ireland have been very good to, you know, to us and to me throughout the year. I have a lot of friends there. I think I realized the other day that I think I know half of people
working at Bank of Ireland.
They've done a lot of things for the startup community. So yeah, I didn't have to.
Very cool. And on one of the other episodes, I mean, we were connected in quite a few ways. Some of them, Samantha Kelly, who's such a sweetheart. She's been like connecting with me. Can you tell us a little bit about Samantha?
She's great. Everybody knows Samantha. I mean, it all happened on Twitter, and Twitter is where she lives.
Yeah.
You know, she's been doing amazing things since forever. I mean, she's one of the Irish entrepreneurs that got onto Dragon's Den, I think, and she...
And Dragon's Den, you guys, is like Shark Tank.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's been... Everybody knows Sam, and if you're on Twitter, you know...
It's Tweeting Goddess, I believe, if you're on Twitter.
She's like the fairy godmother of Twitter or something. I don't know.
She is definitely like all over Twitter. She's like, if you want introductions, you got to tweet it out. I was like, wow. And then I had to get all on my DM game. And then also Gene Murphy, who's an entrepreneur in residence here at Bank of Ireland, which is awesome.
Yeah, Gene is a friend of mine. We've done many things together. We organized a few startup weekends together. Gene is... Yeah, obviously very much involved in all things Bank of Ireland, and he's been very cool in getting me some gigs.
Yeah, the other person that said that I should connect with you is Minda Agaus. How do you say it?
Minda Agaus. Yeah.
And
yeah,
tell me a little bit about him. He's with Sketch Labs.
He's really, really cool. Minda used to work for a recruitment agency. He's very, very passionate about matching people with good opportunities. And then he was like, no, this is not how you do it. So he quit his job. He actually he's specializing in matching designers, product people, but mainly designers, and with job opportunities. He actually went on and he took a course in design just to, again, understand designers. And everybody around him was like, what? You're a recruiter? What are you doing here? So he's doing a really, really good job in helping the tech community find people. And awesome. He's a good friend, and because we're in the same space more or less, we talk quite often.
And we'll include all that information in the show notes so that you guys can, like, you know, cyber stalk these awesome people and get to know more about them. But I really want to know, like, what's your vision with opening? Like, where do you want to take it next?
To be honest, we want to plug into all major job platforms wherever there's people and there's opportunities. And I have a passion around, like, I've never worked in recruitment, neither did Adrian, but we always did things. He organized huge media festivals where he would have, 15 years ago, again in Romania, thousands of people come together with these big bulky computers doing things together. So we always had this passion of connecting, bringing good people together.
Right.
And now we have developed technology, and we're continuing to develop technology that can bring good people together, because it's getting easier and easier, you know, to move to just go after your dream, whatever that dream is.
100%.
So the vision is very much of taking what we have and connecting it into all these platforms that already try and bring people together and do a better and easier, you know, job. Because finding a job, it's one of the most stressful things that we go through. So let's just make that easier and let's do things.
What would you say is one way that you overcome challenges as you've been building your company?
So this might sound a bit weird. I really like problems.
I mean, obviously, if you were doing coding as a teenager, it's all about, like, problem solving. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I just love challenges, but not in a freakish, because just for the sake of, I like solving things. And for some reason, I've always had, even if I don't know something about a certain area, I have this instinct and this ability to look at something from outside and see how things connect together. So we had many challenges to overcome, technical or not. Finding your co-founder, the person that you will share this with, and going through this journey together, and trying to, okay, how do we make it? How do we not kill each other? How do we, you know, get past this next challenge together? Are we both on there's just so many, from the code that doesn't work to, I don't know, this opportunity that's coming towards us, but maybe it's not what it looks like. But it's really about wanting to be on the journey, I guess. And once you do, then the rest, you just, yeah, you just solve it. You can always solve anything.
Would you say, like, what's one, like, tip you would give to someone about, like, how to achieve your dreams?
Well, start, first of all.
Amen. Execution, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could just sit there and go, I have a lot of friends.
I love that. Just start. Just start. I'm telling you, Nike had it right. Just do it.
Yeah, but seriously, honestly, you know, I have this friend who, she always talks about the things that she wants to do. And every year it's the same. You know, when this happens, I will do that, and then I will do that, and then nothing happens. And, or, you know, I have to put all these things together in order to be able to start. No, you don't. Things tend to come together.
Right.
I don't know. There is something happens when you take a first step, and then the second one, and then the third one. Things start coming together. You will never know what are the pieces that you need to have in order to start. And it's never like that. You might think that I have this and that and now I'm ready, and then you realize that reality is quite different. So
totally.
just start, and don't be afraid. And nobody knows anything anyway, so start.
I mean, everybody can be afraid, but not to let fear control you.
Fear is an interesting one. That I have a thing for fear as well as for problems.
Like, you like it.
Yeah, but it's good, because it presents an opportunity. You kind of go, oh, well, why am I afraid? Because I don't know that. Oh, I don't know that, so can I know it? Oh, yeah, how do I do that? Oh, I ask that person, I read that book, or I go to that thing. Oh, and then you're not afraid anymore.
You know, one thing I think about fear, I learned this a long time ago. I forget who I learned it from, but, like, I think it's from my friend Mark. And he said fear, or, like, any emotion is there to serve you and to figure out, like, why, like, it's there to protect you. And then once you work your way, and then you thank it. Thank you so much for serving me and protecting me. I'm okay. I got this handled. You can step to the side now, and I'll continue forward, you know? And so, yeah.
No, it's a really good way of managing it, controlling it.
It's like a friend. Unless it's your intuition and your fear telling you to, like, turn to the right or turn to the left. Definitely listen to that.
Yeah. No, of course. I mean, you don't, you know.
Yeah. Our women's intuition is one powerful thing.
It really is.
Thank you so much, Andrea, for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. You. This has been awesome. Like, it's so exciting. I can't believe I'm in Dublin, Ireland, in one of the coolest cities in the world, and getting to interview some of the most magnificent women. Are there any final notes before we go?
Just thank you so much. I can't wait to listen to all the other podcasts. And yeah, just keep in touch. And thanks for listening. And I hope this made sense.
Totally. And did we do how to connect with you? I want to make sure we got that in. How can people connect with you online?
Twitter or LinkedIn.
And can you spell your name for every, or your Twitter handle?
It's Brandalisms. So it's Brandalisms. Brandalisms.
And we'll include it in the show notes. And your URL for your company?
It's opening.io.
Perfect.
So www.opening.io on LinkedIn. It's Andrea Wade. I have two E's, so yeah.
Yeah, definitely remember that. It's A-N-D-R-E-E-A. Yeah, perfect. And if you guys want to connect with more incredible women like Andrea, remember to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group, which you get to super direct by going to womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. And of course, always feel free to tweet me at Esprit Devora or the Women in Tech Show at Women in Tech Show, of course. And I will see you guys, hear you guys, talk to you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.